Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Furniture shopping can be overwhelming. There are so many options, and it's hard to know what's actually worth it. That's why I always turn to reviews to guide my decisions. If something has hundreds of five-star reviews, I'm paying attention. And Bob's Discount Furniture has tons of highly rated pieces that make choosing a whole lot easier. Like their Elm dining set, which has over 700 five-star reviews. It's a gorgeous setup with a real marble table and comfortable Bobapedic seating that instantly upgrades your dining space. And at $9.99, it's a super approachable way to get that high-end look. Or check out Bob's Copper Radiance Queen Extra Firm Mattress. Over 400 five-star reviews and recommended by Consumer Reports. It's designed with a copper-infused cover and high-density Bobapedic foam for support. Plus, it comes with a 20-year warranty. And if you're looking for a sofa upgrade, the Modular Bob Sectional is a customer favorite with over 1,000 five-star reviews. It's got soft, durable upholstery, storage, wireless charging, and starts at just $250 per piece, so you can customize it without overthinking it. For quality furniture and everyday low prices, shop at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
We're about to talk some NFL football coming off the combine, getting ready for the draft. Joining us right now, Nick Bumgarner from The Athletic, who covers the NFL and the NFL draft. Are you there, Nick?
Yes, sir. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for joining us. It's going well. There's a lot of conversation here in New York about these quarterbacks because we have two quarterback-needy teams. And something I was saying is that when you have this draft class that we're hearing all these things about, it's not a deep draft class. And right. You know, nobody's sure about these two quarterbacks paired with the free agent market. And obviously in the trade market now, Matthew Stafford's gone. And you have names like Matthew Stafford. Why am I blanking on his name? Sam Darnold. Who'd you just say?
Rodgers. Another one there.
Aaron Rodgers, another great one. So let's start there. Two former Jets quarterbacks, right? The conversation around Rodgers, right? Before we found out that Stafford was going to stay in L.A., people were saying, well, you know, the Rams could be a player for Stafford and Devontae Adams. What are your thoughts about where we are with Rodgers, rather? Where we are with Rodgers at age 41, and then obviously his sidekick Devontae Adams potentially coming with him. If that is even something that's going to happen, because the Jets are now looking to trade him as well.
Right. Yeah. I mean, to me, he's about done here. I mean, I don't know. Like you said, 41. And if I want to look back here to the year before, you know, Aaron Rodgers has been struggling since before he left the Packers. I think that that's the thing that people just, you know, the Jets just did not care when they made that trade. You know, his last year plus with Green Bay was not good. Yeah, I think he's about done. I do. I don't know how much left he has. I know that he'd like to think otherwise, I'm sure, and he's a competitor and all that. But if I'm the Giants, you know, man, I don't know how you do that. I mean, you know, Shane and Daboll are fighting for their job. You know, I think an investment in a younger player at this point would probably be better, or an investment in somebody else. Like you mentioned Sam Darnold, you know, I mean, if you want to do something different, I just don't know if Rodgers is the guy to do this, especially with, I mean, forget all the other stuff he brings to the table, off the field, all that other stuff. If none of that existed, I still don't know if he's got enough left. I just think he might be about done. And, you know, so if you're New York, if you're the Giants, you really got to take a hard look at these quarterbacks at the top. And then you also got to take a hard look at a guy like Darnold, I think. So we'll see how it goes, but that's the tricky part, is these quarterbacks are not a slam dunk this year and like they were last year.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is the song that doesn't end, especially right here in New York. As soon as you think it's over, it's like, nope. Now Giants fans are like, yeah, he's the guy. He's the guy for a year to be our no. I think you should learn from your neighbors and bypass on all that Aaron Rodgers brings. And you mentioned a great point about the Packers. I don't know how many times I got on here and talked about Mark Murphy and how the Packers were done with him. They were so done. Mm-hmm. They didn't care. And there are so many Jets fans that weren't done with him here. They wanted him back.
Right.
And they pointed to his stats. And I'm like, yeah, well, he was stat padding at the end of the year with losses. Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji, all they had to do was look at the film and say, this is over. We don't need this guy. So I think Aaron Rodgers, there's nowhere for him to be a starting quarterback in this league. There's enough young guys. There's enough guys coming in with the draft. Like, I don't think there's anywhere that they are going to bring on a 41-year-old headache that Aaron Rodgers can be. I think he's going to be waiting in the wings. I think he's going to just hang tight somewhere until somebody gets hurt and then hope that he can come in and only play half a season or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for a contender, and that's what he should be doing.
I hadn't thought about that. I mean, that's probably not wrong. I mean, somebody asked me this last night on a different show about, you know, Rodgers, and I was like, you know, I don't think he's going to play this year. I just don't see where he would fit. Like you said, I think there's too many other guys, be it young guys or be it situations. Other teams have situations that they're either they like their situation or they're okay with waiting another year, right, and seeing what happens maybe in another year when it's a little bit better. I could see him doing what you just said, though, waiting it out and just, you know, being annoying on all these radio shows and talk shows for a couple of months, and then if somebody gets hurt, boom. But, you know, when the season opens, I'm not sure he's going to be on a team.
Yeah, he wasn't even nominated for Comeback Player of the Year this year, I don't think. So he's got to play the Joe Flacco role. He's got to sit on his couch. Maybe, I don't know, he doesn't have any kids. Maybe find some kids to throw with and wait on that call and then get that call and do what, you know, Flacco did for the Browns. That's win right. Some games, lead them to the playoffs, and that'll be Aaron Rodgers' way to ride off into the sunset.
Well, there you go. He could play for the Browns. I mean, that could be, you know, they need a quarterback.
No, but that, wow. Right now, right? That might be fortuitous.
Yeah.
The Browns are gonna go with Bailey Zappi and Dorian Thompson-Robinson. And eventually, once Bailey Zappi goes down, they're going to say, we can't do it with DTR anymore. Aaron Rodgers, come on down.
You could see it, right? I mean, the Browns are also in need, right? And that's the tricky part, again, is there's just not that many guys, you know, out there right now, which is probably going to drive up Sam Darnold's price too. With the Jets, you mentioned too, I almost wonder if they would be better off waiting. You know, they signed Tyrod, right? I think there's some guys that you could just bridge and get through this year. You're probably not going to be very good. Let's get through to next year where there's better quarterbacks at the top of the draft and see what you can do there. That would almost be my bet if I were the Jets. Giants, you know, I feel like they kind of got to take one right now.
Yeah, I agree. Let's put a pin in the Tyrod Taylor conversation and what the Jets are going to do. I had a caller mention that, like, nobody's talking about Sam Darnold. I think it was Richie in Queens, and no one's talking. I'm like, it's not that no one's talking about Sam Darnold. It's just that Jets fans are completely out on paying him coming back. And then Giants fans, why would this regime of Shane and Daboll put all that money? I mean, I know they were willing to put that money on Matthew Stafford, but that's a Hall of Fame Super Bowl winning quarterback that would be here for the next like 3 years and be done. I don't think that they're going to pivot and put the money out for Sam Darnold, but I think there's definitely suitors for him. The Raiders, from the beginning, I said the Raiders, as an option for Sam Darnold and somebody else, because he's going to be the top free agent quarterback. I don't like Russell Wilson where he's at. I don't like Justin Fields or Jameis Winston or Gardner Minshew or Marcus Mariota as we start to get into those, are the Carson Wentzes of it all.
The weeds there, yeah.
Where, what do you think about Sam Darnold's market? When you're up there, like, somebody's going to pay you. Somebody's going to land him, and maybe for a steal because he didn't have the best last two games of the season.
Right. Yeah, and I think that changes a lot, actually. You know, the finish of the season, I think, cost him quite a bit of money, because if you remember back before that, like a week before that, people were losing their mind over Sam Darnold, and then it ended, and it was like, okay, that looked like the Sam Darnold that we remember from, you know, years ago. So I'm not ruling out the idea that he's back in Minnesota, quite frankly. I'm not ruling out the idea that they figure it out. You know, I don't know what, you know, the whole plan there is. I think they like to have options the whole time, but like you said, the Raiders could also be a choice there. You know, some of these other teams that are just so desperate and looking at the quarterback market and saying, what do we do here? I agree with you on the New York teams, though. I don't know how the Giants do that with Darnold. And the Jets, yeah, I mean, that'd be very weird. But again, then again, it's brand new regime. It's new everything. I think if you look back on Sam Darnold's early time with the Jets, we can make a case for, you know, them not really helping him. You know, maybe in this case, it'd be a little bit different. He's older. He's grown up. We've seen quarterbacks, you know, get better with age. Jared Goff in Detroit's a great example of that. So it's not impossible, you know, for that to happen with Sam, but, you know, it's going to be tricky, and I don't know what the market is for him. I think that's going to be very interesting to see what the first offer is really even on him, because I think mid-season or even like three quarters of the way through, it seemed like people were really talking about he was going to get a ton of money, and then when it ended, that talk seemed like it cooled a little bit. So I'm very curious to see how that goes, and, you know, this is a really tricky spot right now for teams that don't have a quarterback, because there's just not anything there, and it's really not, you know, if you didn't address this last year like everybody told you to, it was going to be a problem for you, and right now there's a couple teams looking at that.
Yeah, I think he could still go out there and get the Daniel Jones contract. See, it all comes back to New York. It always comes back to East Rutherford and Meadowlands. So, you know, back to Tyrod Taylor, who was competing with Daniel Jones not too long ago. Tyrod Taylor, they've said, you know, the Jets are comfortable going into the season with him. He's under contract, and if he's their starting quarterback to start the year, then so be it. But Nevin Shapiro out of Miami, the famous booster, floated a rumor that the Jets might be interested in Cam Ward. And now there are more people out there saying that the Jets might be interested in trading to get that number one pick to draft him. But we're also hearing the same about the Giants. Let's talk about Cam Ward, and then we'll get into Shedeur Sanders. I think Ward, go for it.
No, I mean, Cam Ward to me is QB1 here. And, you know, in the draft, I'm not sure it's, frankly, actually that close, to be quite honest with you, based on everything we heard last week at the combine and everything else that you kind of see on tape. I mean, you know, if you really look at this thing and peel it all down, you know, Cam Ward's a kid that came into college as a wing T quarterback with no experience and, you know, no really chance at all at Incarnate Word. And all he did was take off. I mean, every single year he's gotten better. He got better at Washington State. He jumped over to Miami and immediately hit the ground running and had one of the best offenses in college football last year against a much better and much more talented schedule than Shedeur Sanders really ever saw. You know, I think the quarterback sort of elevation here in development with the track that he's on, I think, can hold for Cam Ward. So I think if you get him with a good quarterback coach in a good situation, and frankly, I like Brian Daboll. I think Brian Daboll can work with quarterbacks. He's never really had a chance to. They're young guys anyway, other than Daniel Jones in New York. So I'm curious to see if they could get him and what that would work out. And the same thing with the Jets. I think they could make that, you know, make that work too. So I thought about both those teams for him. And I think at this point, as it seems more and more likely, I don't think Tennessee is going to want to do this. People have said Cleveland might be interested in a quarterback, but I really think you're going to have to go up to one to get it. And, you know, it's going to have to be Cam Ward. Probably. I don't think I would do it for Sanders, but Ward, I think is probably the one guy in this class that's worth, you know, a top 10 pick on. One would make me nervous. And I think that all the baggage that comes with that, you know, is going to make me nervous because there's still a lot to prove for Cam. You know, both he and Shedeur, you know, are guys that aren't exactly bust-proof, I don't think. They haven't really proven enough yet. So there's a lot to prove, but I do like Cam Ward better in the long run, both, you know, in terms of talent and in terms of everything we've seen so far from him in college.
Yeah, I do too. I remember watching that Florida game live, and then I just went on YouTube and watched the highlights, and I'm like, that was a game where I felt like he really arrived on the national scene. And you kind of forget, like, Miami was undefeated for a little while, and like the U was back. And you know, I forget that press conference he had. I forget what he said, but like, this guy was leading the charge. He was the face of it. And I think he's ready to be the face of a franchise. I joked before about how none of us know what's going to happen. And Michael Penix Jr. went, you know, to the Falcons. And now we hear the story about like Raheem Morris going to Washington and it being raining out and him being unaffected and throwing the football and Raheem yeah. Morris playing middle linebacker to, you know, get a feel for the ball whizzing by him. And, you know, that's how they fell in love with Michael Penix Jr. We don't know who's going to fall in love with Cam Ward, but I also joked about Penix and the Falcons. I'm like, I think they got enough calls from people saying, hey, we want to trade up. And they realized it wasn't the top three quarterbacks. It wasn't Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels. People were trying to trade up to get Penix. And so mm-hmm. they said, why don't we just take him, even yeah. after paying Kirk Cousins all that money? So, like, I think there's a world here where, like, I think the Giants got to do something like that. I think the Giants got to pay for somebody. They got to bring somebody in, whether it's Russell Wilson, whether it's Justin Fields. I don't think it'll be Sam Darnold.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
I think they got to pay for a veteran to come in here and use their pick, maybe trade yes. up to one and get Cam Ward. But why wouldn't the Titans just take him? Like Will Levis and Mason Rudolph? Mason Rudolph, I think, is going to be gone. But like they've been swinging for quarterbacks, right? Right. Will Levis and I always blank on the quarterback Rudolph. From Liberty's name.
Oh, Salter.
Malik
yeah.
Willis.
Hayden.
Malik Willis.
Well, Malik, yeah. Yes. Well, he's in Green Bay now, yeah. Well, Tennessee, yeah, I mean, here's the deal with them. The way I've looked at this is if you have uncertain quarterbacks at the top of the draft, which we do here, and I like Cam Ward better than Will Levis. I'm not going to say, you know, otherwise there. But you already have an uncertain young quarterback on your roster. I'm not sure that you need to do that again at number one, especially with you look at the rest of the situation there in Tennessee. You know, they're further off than probably everybody else up there, including the Giants, including the Jets, including all these. I mean, the Jets especially. The Jets actually have talent. They just need to figure out what they're doing. The Titans are a long way away. And for me, I'm not putting one of these quarterbacks in a situation where the team is a complete mess and he's a rookie and he's got to do it all himself, because I don't think either of them is good enough, you know, to handle all that. And I think that you'd run the risk of breaking them or sort of ruining them before they even had a chance. So if I was Tennessee, I wouldn't do it. I would try to trade the thing. And if nobody wanted to do it, I would take Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter and I'd move on and look at the quarterback situation next year. That's why I think, yeah, and Cleveland, frankly, I think he's in the same boat. I don't think I know Cleveland needs more quarterbacks on the roster, but Watson is stuck there for another year plus. If you take another gamble here like this on a guy that maybe doesn't work out, you're going to be right back in the same situation, whereas you're not going to be good again this year. Next year, the class is better, et cetera, et cetera. So I think those two teams at the top could very much justify not doing it, which I think, you know, if there were no trades, I think it would push the guy down to three, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think there's going to be, like you said, enough teams that, you know, are going to be interested in moving up for Cam that one of those New York teams is going to have to pull the trigger and go do it. I think that feels like what's going to happen here. Or maybe at least the favorites to go do it right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at the Giants, and here's how we'll, you know, transition into talking about Shedeur Sanders. I'm looking at the Giants at three, and I remember being on air after they had the number one overall pick, losing 10 in a row, mm-hmm. and I'm like, they've done it. It's right there. It's right there for you to go pick the quarterback of your choosing. And they had to go out and win one home game and beat the Colts. And Drew Lock played the best game we've seen from a Giants quarterback all time. Okay. But now I'm reading what it's going to cost. The 33rd team put out a post. And I also saw Dan Duggan, who comes on my show, writes for The Athletic. Mm-hmm. He wrote, so what might it cost the Giants to move up to the top pick this year? They hold the third overall pick, which is a big help. So you got to give that up. To get that 3,000-point premium, you would probably be looking at giving up the third overall pick and 34th overall pick in this year's draft, along with next year's first-round pick and a third round. So I'm like, all of that to get Cam Ward?
Right.
Then you might as well just stay put and draft Shedeur Sanders. Now, I understand that there's a lot coming out about Shedeur Sanders. He showed up to the combine. He was really icy. His diamonds were dancing on his neck.
Yes, they were.
He was more confident than I've ever seen him. I told the listeners, I follow him and I watch his podcast. He's more subdued. He's more mild-mannered. He almost speaks under his breath. But I guess his dad told him, after all of those years covering the combine at NFL Network, you go in there and you be supremely confident. And they seem like they had some one-liners practice. Yeah. I read that he lost his phone, that like scouts, the number that he gave out to scouts at the Shrine Bowl, he lost that phone. I also read that, you know, people are perceiving him as arrogant and too cocky, yeah, and like it is giving him negative marks. I also read that the teams that he's not interested in going to, he kind of half-assed his interviews and didn't really, you know, give his all, I think, in a way to say, like, I'm not really interested. You shouldn't be drafting me. And then, obviously, he put out that he wants to be drafted higher than his dad. And I think his dad was drafted fifth overall.
Yeah, it was top five, for sure.
Yeah, well, yeah. And so he wants to go top five. What are your thoughts on Shedeur Sanders? It was fifth overall.
Well, I don't think he's going top five. I really don't. I don't know if, and honestly, at this point, like you said, this kid was supposed to go to the Shrine Bowl. He took money from the Shrine Bowl. They got all the Colorado kids in the Shrine Bowl, and then they get there and he says, I'm not doing it. And then, rather than say, I'm not doing it, he goes and he has his people tell Yahoo that the Jets and the Giants and whoever else and the Browns told him not to work out, which is just ridiculous. He's had, yes, he's had an answer rehearsed for almost everything that we've seen. He's shown nothing this winter or spring. He was 13-12 at Colorado. They did not play anyone of substance. He was a nice player there, and I like Shedeur, and I think he's got a chance, you know, in the league, but this posturing and this whistling through the graveyard, everybody sees through it. And I really think that he missed major opportunities not competing at the Shrine or the Combine. This walking around and acting like you did more than you've actually done is not doing him any favors. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't think he's a top 10 pick right now. I don't think he's a top 15 pick right now. I would not be shocked if Shedeur, you know, fell to the bottom of the first round or even out of it, because I just don't know if teams, like we said, I mean, it's already hard enough to justify trading up for a guy like Cam Ward, where we don't know all the, you know, ins and outs of everything that you're going to get from him. There's going to be questions. We probably think he needs a bridge player too. My best case scenario for Shedeur is kind of like Bo Nix, and Bo Nix did not have all these issues. You know what I mean? He didn't lose his phone, you know, during the scouting process. It hasn't been a mess. So Shedeur's not exactly climbing a ladder here, despite what he and his dad are telling everyone. I think most people inside the NFL right now that are talking about quarterbacks are talking about Cam Ward at the top, and then a pretty disappointing group behind him, which, you know, the drop there kind of dips a little more significantly even than we thought before the combine. So not a great combine for Shedeur. That was not a great strategy at all. I don't think it paid off, and, you know, we'll see where he goes from there.
Yeah, it's just, it's unfortunate. Like, listening to what you just said and what I added, I have been saying, they, you know, the Giants went to Colorado. They scouted Shedeur Sanders. He's been rich his whole life. He's been famous these last few years. The bright lights of New York City aren't going to faze him. But now, in my mind, with this regime, Shane and Dable literally making decisions for their lives, that's too big of a decision. That's too big of a potential risk. I don't think they'll take him third overall. Maybe they'll take a Travis Hunter or an Abdul Carter. But now I'm just like, they can't risk it. They can't risk Shedeur Sanders not being NFL ready this year. Even if they do get, you know, a Russell Wilson type or a, you know, whoever in here, like this quarterback has to be it. And we're not sure about Shedeur Sanders. I think he's been an accurate quarterback. I watched a lot of his games, because how could you miss him? They made sure his games were on Fox.
He was on a lot,
and he was running for his life. There was no offensive line. I said he's the guy that he's always escaping the pocket, doing that spin-out move and trying to find grass to set his feet, holding the ball forever and chucking it downfield. That is cool in the Pac-12. That doesn't translate to the NFL.
Right, and I think that that's been the disconnect here, where, you know, Deion has talked about this for 2.5 years, comparing Shedeur and Travis Hunter, like, on the same, almost like they're trying to talk it into existence. And, you know, like I've said, Shedeur is a good football player, and I think that he has a chance if he's in the right situation, the right system, given time, you know, given has a good offensive line in front of him with a run game. I think he could do it. I think he'd be a nice player, but that's a lot. You know, that's a lot for a team in the top 10, and I'm not sure that it would work right away. And the other thing you got to remember here, and the thing to factor in, and I know that Deion again has said this isn't going to be an issue, even though he called Shedeur's phone in the middle of his one of his Shrine Bowl interviews, which was like, I've never heard of that before. So he calls in during the middle of the interview. He says he's not going to be an issue for whichever team he goes to, but I mean, let's say that Shedeur goes to the Giants and they're 0-4 with four horrible performances from him. What's the story going to be there? It's going to be a complete mess every single day, because he's going to be, you know, one of the most talked about players in the league. So I just, all of the stuff that they have built up around him has done him no favors. They have done him no favors. His team hasn't done him any favors. Deion hasn't done him any favors, and he hasn't done himself any favors. And that's, yeah, it's unfortunate because he is a talented player. And, you know, if he came into this with a little bit more of a humble, you know, like Cam Ward, frankly, I don't think this would have been an issue. Cam Ward did not commit to any All-Star game and didn't back out of one. You know, he didn't say he was going to do anything, and then he didn't. He's played this about how you would want it. He's been pretty quiet and worked. Shadur has done the opposite. So that's
right now. With the risk and the fear around these two prospects and with all the talk about them not being surefire things, people saying J.J. McCarthy would be drafted ahead of these guys.
Yes.
Right now where we are in the process, Shadur Sanders needs a hell of a pro day because Ward not being attached to Deion, not coming, like you said, just the humbleness. Cam Ward's not humble. When you watch these videos, their quarterback coach putting out,
right.
He talks trash to Shadur all day. He's not all humble. He knows who he is. Yeah. But I think in the regard of like how he's come across here, he's definitely come across humble enough where it's not even close who you take a chance on with a top pick between Cam Ward and Shadur Sanders. You take the kid that doesn't come with as much baggage.
Right, and the guy that's not rehearsed lines and is just out there being himself. Like, I mean, that's what Cam Ward was doing, is being himself, right? Like, I think for the most part, that's what we've seen. Shadur, maybe this is himself, but it really does feel rehearsed. It feels pushed and forced and almost like we're trying to make a movie star or something like that. And it's like, you cannot do that in the NFL. And I know that Deion Sanders is one of the greatest players that's ever lived, right? Like maybe top five. And I think that his perspective sometimes gets skewed too. And I think that there's a lot of people that are close to Shadur Sanders that are just completely on another planet in some of this stuff. And yeah, it's going to be an interesting couple months because I don't think it's going to go the way they want it to. And he's going to have to buckle down at some point, but I hate saying all this because I don't want to write him off. I don't think he's a bad kid. I think he's getting poor advice, and I don't think that this has been going so well so far.
Yeah. I don't know. Here's the last thing for you. So who's the next guy up? Jackson Dart. I think he turned some heads at the combine. Also, you know, Shadur came and stuck his neck out for Will Howard from Ohio State because they're saying he had the worst combine performance ever. I'll say something on the record. Like, just from having experience doing a little bit of that combine work and, like, these quarterbacks, and I saw a coach telling, how come they don't have someone snapping the ball? Like, their timing should be...
It's a mess.
Someone's got to at least simulate the snap. Like, a coach, hand the quarterback the ball. Said, all right, hand him the ball. Or kind of underhand, spin the ball and simulate a shotgun snap. Because these guys... One, their timing is off throwing to receivers that they've never met, never worked with. But two, they're a little bit early because they're set up. And they're already in their first step of their drop back before these guys get off the line. So, like, I don't really look at the quarterbacks and say, oh, Will Howard missed all of these guys. He had some terrible throws, but that's a timing thing. And also, he's coming out of Ohio State. You know, he's used to having his receivers wide open. But who do you think has made a rise? Quinn Ewers, Kyle McCord, Riley Leonard, Tyler Shuck.
Yeah, Tyler Shuck and Kyle McCord are two that really interest me. I haven't given up on Jackson Dart yet either, although I'm not as high as some other people are on him. Shuck is, you know, a big dude with better feet than people realize, and he can really, really drive the football down the middle of the field. I mean, he's got, you know, exactly what you want. He wasn't afraid to do it. I think he could surprise some people, you know, but based on where he's picked, I think he could be QB3, although Jalen Milroe and his athleticism, I think, is going to be very tempting for people right up there, and that's going to be something that we'll have to watch. But the other guy there, too, outside of Chuck, would be McCord. You know, he really, really threw the ball well at the Shrine Bowl. He's a five-star athlete. It did not go well for him, obviously, at Ohio State, but, he left and had an even better statistical year. He's also really, really smart. I think he's scored well in those IQ tests and stuff like that as well. So Kyle, I think, could be a guy also that surprises people with where he picked. I actually think Kyle McCord will go higher than Will Howard. I would be surprised if Will Howard goes. I've said that kind of all year. I know that people were, you know, gathering around Will Howard as they made that run through the playoff, but I think when you really peel it back and look at it, I think McCord throws a better ball. He's also a decent athlete and, is pretty battle-tested too. So those two guys, Shuck and McCord, are the two that I've liked. I think they've thrown the ball well over the last couple of months in All-Star games as well.
Awesome. Nick, you're the man. I really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you for the time tonight.
Anytime.
888-808-1019. If you would like to add to the conversation we just had, that was Nick Bumgarner, at Nick Bumgarner, BAUMGARDNER.
on Twitter if you would like to check out his work. He writes for The Athletic covering the NFL and the draft.